Welcome, Siouxland Catholic Radio listeners, back to Faith in Action. We are a locally produced program by Siouxland Catholic Radio, which airs every Monday at 9 a.m. and replays every Saturday at 7 p.m. I want to thank you for joining us. I'm Father Mark Stoll. I'm a priest of the Diocese of Sioux City since 1992, and we are here interviewing, visiting with Maggie. She's at her office at Pulse Life Advocates in Des Moines, where she's been the executive director for the last 11 years. And I'm filling in for Joanne Fox, who is unable to be with us this time, but I'm really glad you are joining us. And so, Maggie, one of the things we've been talking about with Pulse Life Advocates is the many different projects that Pulse Life does, and one of them is organizing the annual March for Life. And we all know that in January, around the 23rd or 21st, someplace in that area of January every year, we have thousands, maybe even close to a million people gather out in Washington, D.C., you know, barring things like COVID and all this, but thousands of people from all over the country gather in Washington, D.C. and march from the Lincoln Memorial down to the Supreme Court to stand up and say, hey, we stand for life. And so, Maggie, I understand that Pulse Life Advocates, formerly known as Iowans for Life, has been for many years helping organize the trips from Iowa. Can you speak to us a little bit about the work that Pulse Life Advocates does for that March for Life in Washington, D.C. each year?
Sure, yeah. The March for Life trip to Washington, D.C. is one of our longest standing events. Mm-hmm. We've probably been doing this trip for Iowans about 35 years. Mm. And in fact, our founder of our organization, Carolyn Thompson, was at the very first March for Life and was on the stage with Nellie Gray, who was the founder of March for Life. Mm. And so that was a very exciting time for Iowa to see her on stage at that first march. So it's one of those events that is such a good educational event. I mean, a lot of it is high school and college students, but of course we have a fair amount of families and individuals and retirees that attend with us every year as well, and it is a pilgrimage because it is, it's a short 20-hour bus ride out to Washington, D.C., but we jam-pack it full of prayer and education, pro-life movies, and, of course, a little fun to keep people invigorated and prepared for what they will encounter when they get to Washington, D.C., As you mentioned, it is one of the largest human rights events that happen in our nation's capital every year. But if you watch any of the local or national news, you're not going to get any of it outside of EWTN.
That's right.
They just act like it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when people go, they are amazed, because there is close to 500,000 people that descend on Washington, D.C. every year from all corners of the country to stand loudly and proudly in defense of human life. Mm-hmm. Now, this year, it will be different. And, of course, last year was the first year that it was canceled due to COVID.
Yes.
And that was very difficult to not have that trip. And there'll be some additional precautions and unfortunately, some things that we're used to doing, diocesan masses and youth rallies that unfortunately had to be canceled due to COVID precautions.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing that we're going there to do is to participate in the march, and
yes,
we're going to get to do that. And so we encourage anyone who's interested to reach out to us on our website or through my phone or email. We go every year. Our registration occurs in November every year. And we have all kinds of activities and things that we do while we're on the trip in Washington, D.C., in addition to the actual march. We make sure that there is plenty of opportunity for prayer and for mass. But again, a little fun. We offer a free day before we take back off to Iowa so people can see the beauty of our nation's capital. And we have groups, a lot of groups from the Sioux City Diocese come with us every year. In fact, this year we have groups from Carol Kemper High School and St. Ed's School in Fort Dodge.
Yes.
And we've also had kids from Galen, from Algona-Garrigan, from we've had a group from Epiphany in Sioux City, St. Mary's in Spirit Lake. My old stomping ground has brought kids there before, Bishop Helan. So a lot of the Catholic schools have participated in coming with our March for Life trip. And, of course, we've got schools in Council Bluffs and Des Moines and Cedar Rapids that also attend with us as well every year.
Okay. And so my understanding then is Pulse Life Advocates would then line up the bus scene?
Yes. We line up the bus and the hotel.
Wow.
And so you don't have to worry about any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then your individual group can kind of cater their own trip. But I also have some suggestions and ideas of things that they can do while they're there. We always offer an opportunity to meet with their legislators. So if they are in town, we try and also get them an opportunity to see what happens in the legislative process and how our laws are made, and have an opportunity to have a meet and greet with some of the folks that represent us here in Iowa at the U.S. Capitol.
Right. And then you know, for the cost, is that each student needs to help pay for that? Are they fundraisers? Or, you know, because there's got to be some sort of cost to this.
There is, yep. We generally charge $400 per person, and that covers your hotel and your bus. But a lot of groups do fundraisers, just the same as groups that go to Steubenville or NCYC or some of those other kinds of youth groups or youth events. They, you know, we have suggestions of fundraisers or different things that they can do. And a lot of times, individual parishes where the students are at, their Respect Life committees and their Knights of Columbus councils may offer scholarships as well. I know that around in the Des Moines Diocese, that's often an opportunity for kids to apply for scholarships or write a pro-life essay and be able to get a free trip based on that. So we never want cost to be a factor in them being able to come, because we do find that they come back and they do feel more equipped. I think a lot of times in the pro-life movement, it can be isolating, and you feel like you're the only one kind of beating that pro-life drum. And then when you go to Washington, D.C., and you see thousands of people, and you think, oh, I'm not alone. There are other people that really care about this issue. And it empowers you and emboldens you to come back to your community and start a pro-life group or pray at Planned Parenthood, or just talk to your friends who may be struggling with being pro-choice and feeling more emboldened and equipped to kind of reach out on that life issue. Because really, that's, I mean, it's Pulse Life Advocates, that's all fine and good. But everybody has a part to play. And you all, everyone, has to be doing their part. And one of the first things is just simply even talking about it.
Yes.
You know, you have to be able to engage in the conversation and talk about this issue in order to be able to get to a point where you can change hearts and minds.
And again, the witness. And again, this is where I think really where we say faith in action. When you see the thousands of youth, high school students, college students, adults, they're gathered at Lincoln Memorial around the reflecting pool and then marching down the avenue towards the Supreme Court is just a huge witness.
It is. I mean, it's hard to even describe what it looks like until you get there and you see the massive crowd, and you just, it's overwhelming, and it gives you hope.
Yeah, and so again, with the March for Life, say, happening on a Friday, what time would they leave from Iowa to head to Washington, for March on Friday?
Yeah, we leave on a Wednesday.
Okay.
So we pick up from various locations throughout the state on Wednesday. So we travel overnight on the bus and then arrive in D.C. on Thursday. A lot of people take the opportunity to go to the big national shrine mass for life at the Basilica.
Yes.
And that's another fantastic opportunity of witness of life. It's unbelievable, the amount of people and the amount of priests.
Yes.
And cardinals and bishops from all over the country that go there, too. If you're ever worried about the church, go there and you will have a renewed hope for our priests and for our church, because it's just a magnificent witness to the testament of life and how important it is for our church to be the number one advocate, and that be our number one social teaching, is the life and dignity of the human person.
Yeah, and so again, the march is on Friday, and so again, that starts early Friday morning, and then they're still marching. Again, the good news is that this is all carried by EWTN radio and TV, too, live. Mm-hmm. And I've watched it, and just to see the people still marching, I think at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they're still marching and gathering in front of the Supreme Court. It's just almost an all-day event on Friday.
It is. It is. When you get that many people, it's not a long route, but when you get that many people, it's a couple-hour march.
Right.
And you think, when you get to the Supreme Court, and you think, oh, it's just about done, and then another big wave comes, and then another big wave, and it just goes on and on. And then, of course, at the Supreme Court, we hear testimonies of women who have been hurt by abortion and their healing story, which is very powerful.
Yes. Oh, Maggie, we're going to have to take a little break. I want to come back a little bit and wrap up a little bit on the March for Life and then talk about a few other things that advocates Pulse Life Advocates do. I'm still getting used to the new name.
But, me too.
We're working on it. So we'll be right back after we listen to a few words from our sponsors and underwriters.